Craig Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. By the way, we have no bathrooms here today. Well, we have a bathroom. But all of the other bathrooms on this floor, closed. Until 2007. As you know, this email says, the third floor is undergoing a major renovation, and part of this renovation will be the third floor restrooms. These restrooms are going to be entirely reconstructed and will be closed until January 2007. Please notify your employees they may use the restrooms on floors 2, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, and 16. So there you go. And those bathrooms are fancy and smell of citrus, by the way, just so you know. All right. It's 503-733-2970. So I've got it right here. I have it right here. This is from Fox, foxnews.com. Dateline New York News Corporation, the parent company of book publisher HarperCollins, and the Fox Network has canceled public... I thought canceled had two L's.
Yeah. Nope, it only has one.
See, I had to take that spelling test.
That's one of the one, yeah, spelling things that I know for sure.
Canceled publication of the O.J. Simpson book and television special, If I Did It. I and senior management agree with the American public that this was an ill-considered project, said Rupert Murdoch, News Corp chairman. We are sorry for any pain that has been caused to the families of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. A dozen Fox affiliates, including KPTV, by the way, in Portland, Oregon, had already said that they... See, the thing is, we wouldn't have been... I would have had to see it online anyway. Because KPTV already said that they weren't going to carry it. So a dozen Fox affiliates had already said they would not air the two-part Sweeps Month special planned next week before the book's publication. Blah, 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 blah. Relatives of the victims have now lashed out at the scuttled publication and broadcast plans, or at the now scuttled broadcast plans. One of the nation's largest superstore chains, Borders Books, said last week it would donate any profits of the book to charity. See, they're hurting the children now. Judith Regan, and then Judith Regan put that weird statement about it's because I was beaten. And I don't know what the hell that's all about, but all right. Well, it's still going to come out. I don't give up hope. See, because here's the thing about this. I know you're all upset about it, and I just don't, I mean.
I'm not upset. I just don't care either way. His 10-minute, he's already had his fame from him being a murdering jerk.
The murdering douchebag. Yeah, but you were going to watch it. You know you were.
I was not.
You don't lie.
See, this is the thing.
Why are you going to lie?
Because you think I'm lying, but I'm not. I'm not really that interested in it. And to tell you the truth, he just seems like a terrible person. And if this gives him any more credibility or attention than what he's already had, then I don't want to contribute to it.
Yeah, see, but I know you honestly believe that. I know I'm not saying you're lying. I know you believe that, but I'm saying you would have been in a bar, you and Nate would have been hanging out, it would have been on TV, and you would have found yourself watching. You would have found, and you would have come in the next day, and it said, you were like, well, there I was, and it was on, and I felt like a terrible person, and I just felt dirty after watching it. I'm not saying you're not telling the truth.
I think you would have found yourself watching. You have a higher tolerance for it, because I don't think I could handle it. I don't think I could stomach watching that guy talk.
Yeah, I'm just curious in seeing how low the media in America can go. That's just the thing that I find fascinating. I just want to know how low it can devolve.
See, and you're in the forefront of that. are you in the running to be like the lowest form of
proud
media?
To be, no. I'm just saying, I mean, they're not offering to give it. Look, if they told me I could put it on the station, I'd do it. I am making you the offer right now, and I guarantee you that Tom Likas will say the same thing this afternoon. Well, maybe I can't guarantee it. It seems highly likely that Tom Likas said, look, you give it to me, I'll put it on. I'll air it right here. Millions of listeners. I will air it. If OJ calls in, I will put him on the air. I suspect because it's all about this. Because somebody's going to air it, somebody's going to put it on, and it would be disingenuous. Who am I to be some moral gatekeeper? It would be disingenuous to say that people aren't curious. People don't care about it.
And I wouldn't mind if you played it.
We've been talking about it for 2 weeks, so I'm just saying it's going to be.
I'm just saying I don't want to see it or hear it.
I'm saying there's money to be made.
I bet there is.
If there's money to be made, I wish to make that money. And it's not like it's...
What was that lowest form of media again?
It's not me, because they haven't offered it to me. I'm just saying, I'm not going to lie, though, and be like, I find that this type of programming is objectionable.
And you haven't lied, and I've been honest, and you've been honest. You said that this has been fascinating to you, and you're going to watch it. I've said it hasn't been fascinating to me, and I'm not.
See, but I don't understand. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't understand how you can't be fascinated by it.
I think
it's
the
biggest criminal trial ever in American history.
But I was younger than you when it happened. It made more of an impact in your life than it did mine.
Well, I guess that's true. To me, the O.J. Simpson really is the greatest, and when I say greatest, I mean biggest impactful. It is the most impactful. It is like when they say that something is a great natural wonder of the world. And they say it's big and it is awe-inspiring. It is just large. And again, it has a huge impact. It is, in terms of impact, the greatest, probably the greatest shared social experience of in American history. I can't think of anything. Well, 9/11. I mean, I guess 9/11, obviously. I guess that goes without saying. But I mean, beyond that, beyond 9/11, I would, beyond anything, beyond a war, beyond any activity related to a war or a military operation. Socially speaking, this is the biggest social event in American history because it's everything. It's race relations. It's relations between the rich and the poor. It's relations between men and women. It's the nature of fame. It's the nature of media. It's the media examining itself. It's the relationship between police and the citizens that they patrol. I mean, it's about the nature of the justice system. It's everything. It is the O.J. Simpson case, like nothing else, is an absolute microcosm of every major issue in America. I don't think it's ever happened before where a guy everybody kind of feels that he's guilty, but, you know, the guy who at least is believed to be guilty, but who's been acquitted, you know, of it in a criminal case, I don't think that's ever happened before. I might be wrong about that. I'll ask Roop about it later, but I might be wrong, but it seems like I'm not. This has never happened before, where a guy who has been acquitted has then stood up and gone, look at me, I did it. I mean, it is just fascinating beyond words. So, Scotty is saying he'll get OJ on the phone. Yeah, you get right on that. Well, anyway, so we'll see. It's going to come out, though. Here's the thing, is that Rupert Murdoch, he will wash his hands of it, and then it'll end up on the Internet. It'll end up on some boutique channel. It'll end up on HBO or Showtime or some other upstart network that wants to get a little bit of attention will put it on. Same thing with the publishing house. So, all right, well, there you go. So OJ, gone for the moment, but he'll be back. Let's talk to Benjamin for a second, then we'll talk to Eric about OJ. Then we may actually have to break here before we get to this helping a guy punish his brother. Oh, and we've got a little bit more on this Michael Richards story. Speaking of the country just spiraling into a toilet. Let's see. Benjamin in the mighty Southeast. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, brother?
I'm going to guarantee this phone call here. I've got Casino Royale, quotes from the Storm Large concert, and Into the Woods at Gresham High School.
Fantastic. All right.
So, yeah, but we'll keep it all brief. So,
thank you.
Casino Royale, I was actually very impressed by this. I've been a big Bond fan for many years, and I've been very disappointed in the past. But when I saw this movie, it brought to my mind your famous comparison of Kirk and Picard. And Connery, for me, the original, the badass,
yeah.
I mean, define the character, but I think Daniel Craig, a superior Bond, much like Picard.
Well, there's a difference as I've said, that Picard is the better captain, but Kirk is the cooler captain.
Yeah.
So you believe that Craig is the better Bond, but that Sean Connery is cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And what I really hope this heralds kind of a new age for Bond. It's like it's grittier, realistic, less campy, less reliance on gadgets. And the best scene in the movie, the foot chase at the beginning.
I heard, now see, because there's no Q in this one at all, right?
Nope, not at all.
See, and this is the thing, and I don't want to knock any of the Bond films, but this is why, to me, Connery movies are always... But who was it that was saying Roger Moore was the best Bond ever? Was that Scott Daly? Talking out of his pie hole about Roger Moore is the best Bond ever. I think it was him. Moore isn't the best Bond, if only because Moore, in my opinion, those movies were too gadget heavy. Moore always relied way too much on the gadgets and not enough on Bond's natural abilities and persona.
Definitely. And this one, I mean, you're just in there throwing the punches with him, and it just felt great. It was really, really entertaining.
And it was beaten out by that god awful CGI penguin thing, though. What does that say about this country? Goddamn dancing penguins beat out Bond.
Far too many people have kids and took the entire family to the theater this week.
Totally.
Quotes from the Storm Large concert. First, I got to say, I wore my AM970 T-shirt.
God bless you.
The Emerson Army.
Thank you, sir. I should say that, just real quickly, that Sarah was out of town, and then I had intended to go, and then my wife was feeling another weather, so I ended up staying home with my wife. I wasn't able to go. So sadly, we here at the Rick Emerson Show were not able to attend.
Hey, but Kristen was out there, and actually Storm gave her a shout-out from the stage and said, I see you back there, Kristen, so that was nice.
Fantastic.
I did not intend to collect quotes as you do at some of the things, but there were just some that just leapt out at me. There were two hot chicks who were passing out Rockstar energy drinks to people, and in unison they said, hey, guys, want a sample? That was just great.
Genius.
Yes, you got to love that. Walking down a corridor, there was one guy said to the other, hey, is it alcoholic? The other guy said, no. And the first guy said, what's the point?
Genius.
So, there's that. And last but not least here, there's a older woman who was there and said, they told me there weren't any ashtrays, but they found one for me. I guess it helps when your breasts are falling out.
It really does. Truer words were never spoken.
It is very true.
How was the show? Was the show fantastic?
Oh, you know, it was awesome. And I did not expect there to be 9 opening acts that each ate up about 15, 20 minutes. But
right.
A couple of them were really good. I did want to mention those. Amadon. Reminded me of Flogging Molly.
We got this guy, David Krause, this friend of ours. He's just always, Sarah is just constantly, you gotta go find out Amadon! You know, and he's just one of those. Do you ever know somebody like that? And I don't, this is not to knock on him, they sound like a fine band. But do you ever have some friend of yours and they latch onto some band, and every time it's, what do you want to get for lunch? You gotta go Amadon! You know, and it's like every time you talk to them, that's their mission in life. It's like, they're like Jehovah's Witnesses, but for some band that you've never heard of. All right, who else was good?
Young Mortals actually won, and they were pretty good. Now, the comments that I had about them was that, you know, they had hooks, they had the crowds.
Who was this?
They're called the Young Immortals.
The Young Immortals. Oh, I've seen ads for them around.
Yeah, and like I was saying, they had great hooks to their to their chorus lines. They had the crowd singing along instantly, and,
cool.
You know, they do the typical thing bands do where it's slow and melodic, and then it ramps.
And then it crunches.
Yeah, and, you know, they really brought the rock when it did, and had
excellent.
People jumping up and down. It was really good.
Well done.
So, and, you know, last but not least about the whole concert thing, I'll move on, is if you've never seen Storm live, I was mesmerized. I was like 10 feet from her. I felt like she was singing right to me sometimes. And just a brilliant performance. If you've never seen her live, you have to go see Storm.
And that band, I mean, the balls are fantastic. I mean, that whole band's got charisma and talent to burn.
Yeah, definitely. And watching, you know, Davey Neeples off to the side there as he just, he's swinging his neck around and he's playing with his bass there and he's just looking over at her and he's got the biggest smile on his face. He can, what a happy man.
Those guys are badass.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, last but not least here, and I'll let you go. I went, and I don't usually go see high school musicals, but I love Into the Woods. Stephen Sondheim wrote the brilliant, ultimately funny and poignant lyrics to this, composed all the music. And I'll tell you, those kids at Gresham High School, they could really sing. They really did a fantastic job. And stole the show was the best performance was by Alexis Mani, who did The Baker's Wife.
What is prompting you to call? Sarah's just noting that this is the weirdest conglomeration of things that a guy has ever called up to talk about on this program. I'd like to talk about boobies and drinking. Also, the kids at Gresham High can really sing.
Absolutely.
I don't mean this as a knock, but you do really kind of sound like a caller version of Larry King right now, where it's just a whole lot of like, I'd like to talk about Elmo's Pie House. If you want to talk about Marionberries that are juicy and just a slightest bit pungent, you can't go wrong at Elmo's.
And
now Henry Kissinger.
The bottom of my trash can the other day, let me tell you.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
Just random stuff, but
all right.
Thank you, Rick.
God bless you. No, thank you, sir. Everything goes, Benjamin. Sarah.
Oh, I know who that is. That's Benjamin who made the board for us.
Yeah, you were reaching for the kill switch, Sarah.
God love him.
Sarah's
that
mouthing.
Was a really long phone call.
Sarah's mouthing me. This has been on for 5 minutes.
It's not that it didn't have substance. It was just a long phone call.
No, it was just a weird conglomeration of things. We'll do one more, then we'll come back with Tim Riley and a little bit more on Michael Richards. Eric, hello, sir.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, I'm an ex-golfer. I'm a Gresham High graduate, so I got to agree with Benjamin. No problem there.
Go for pride.
But that's not what I called about. I called about O.J. Simpson. I have not heard about this talked about in the news. I am absolutely there. I want to go see the Fox special. I want to read the book. But I want the money to go to
me.
The Paul Brown family.
That's not going to happen.
Civil suit against him.
I'm unclear. Well, yes, they did. And I'm unclear about whether they ever won that suit trying to get ownership of his name or whatever. Yeah, he owes them $33.5 million. But here's the thing, is that the money's not going to OJ. The money's going to a third party.
Right, which, yeah. It's gonna
I mean,
go
we
with,
all know.
Of course, the kids are going to take care of daddy.
Oh, no, yeah, we all know that it's going to OJ in the end. But, apparently it is structured. And OJ has said to several friends, I don't know if he's ever said this on a record, but several friends have said that O.J. has said that his thing is just to get the money and spend it, any money he makes. Because, you know, that guy gets $35,000 a month in a pension, or $25,000 a month in a pension that the Goldmans can't touch. So he's never going to have to work again. I mean, he makes, so that's what? That's $300,000 a year. So he makes $300,000 a year in a pension that is untouchable. Anything above that, he said that he just spends it as soon as he gets it, and they never have a chance to, because there's like a legal process that has to kick in for them to attach onto that money. And he just spends it before they can get it. So there you go.
Celebrities, what are you going to do?
The decline of Western civilization continues. All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Eric. All right. There. Thank you, Del Paxton. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We got Michael Richards news around the corner. So forth. We got to think about Jennifer Lopez's butt. And what else? Well, other stuff. Other stuff. Still trying to answer this question. World's largest blank of blank. Somebody said ball of underwear. We've got that. A bowl of tapioca. We've got that. We've got Rick, largest ball. This is the second suggestion for this. Rick, the largest ball of Band-Aids. So there you go. We're trying to find the world. The world's I see, but that's a thing you've never seen it done.
Largest ball of disease.
Ball of fungus. The largest tub of Ebola. All right, so we're looking for you to finish this, complete this phrase. Here at the Rick Emerson Show, we're going to assemble the world's largest blank of blanks. The Rick Emerson Show, you stay there. All right, the Rick Emerson Radio Program is 503-733-2970. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to Peter Carlin about O.J. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk to Jim Roop about O.J. Here in just a moment, we'll get some calls about O.J. Also, this guy who wants us to make a big pile of shower drain hair.
Oh.
It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. But first and foremost, the real reason anybody pays any attention to my skinny white ass at all, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Oregon steel employees may soon be working for godless Russians. Urbas Company, the largest steel maker in Russia, says it's buying Oregon steel mills for $2.3 billion. They employ 700 people in Portland. And Stalin's disciples could take over as early as November 27th. Who says the Russians are all poor?
In Russia, steel is your work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that was my bad attempt to do a Yakov Smirnoff joke. Wait, hold on a second.
That sounded more like a German.
In Mother Russia, you ride horse. No, that's wrong.
Are you trying to be a female Russian?
No. Really, is there a difference? I mean, if you were taking a good, long look at a female Russian, you know, come on. Be honest. All right, well, there's a... Insert your own Yakov Smirnoff joke. Fat Boy's really good at that. I mean, not so much. Here's Tim Riley.
Sutter's Corporation has pulled the plug on the controversial O.J. book and TV special. You heard about it. The cancellation of both projects came in a statement from News Corporation Chairman Rupert Murdoch, who says...
Cranky!
I and senior management agree with the American public that this was an ill-considered project. I'm sorry for any pain that caused the families of Ron Goldman. Did you hear that? Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. Meanwhile, live with Regis and Kathy Lee star Kelly Ripa, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, is none too pleased with Clay Aiken. She complained about the former American Idol's guest stint on the show Friday, saying Aiken wasn't respectable in any way and was also hostile to her.
Did he trash the place?
Apparently, Aiken also put his hand over Ripa's mouth while they were interviewing Dancing with the Stars champs Emmett Smith and Cheryl Burke.
Oh, that's great.
Ripa immediately said at the time, that's a no-no, adding, I don't know where your hands have been.
With your San Francisco values. All right.
On with this, Seinfeld says he's sick over Richard's marks.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's got... Richard's marks?
I mean, Richard Marks. Oh, wait a minute, Richard's remarks.
I'm sick over Richard Marks. I found that the videos for Hazard did not nearly go far enough in explaining the death of the young girl, even though I found its black and white noir style to be compelling.
Seinfeld issued a statement saying, quote, I'm sure Michael is also sick over this horrible, horrible mistake.
Oh, my residuals.
He said the comments of Richards were so extremely offensive, he adds, I feel terrible for all the people who've been hurt.
My wallet! Okay, well, let's just play it then. Scotty has created an edit of this.
He also went to Evergreen College.
Isn't that hippie trippy school where they don't give any grades and then you wear a halo?
And he was also involved in the Vietnam War working with race relations, making films.
It says here, Michael Richards was drafted during the Vietnam War, was stationed in Germany as one of the co-directors of the V-Corps Training Roadshow. He produced and directed shows dealing with race relations. I've had Scotty clean this up. Scotty, this is the one.
Give me a good scrub.
It says Michael Richards edit. Right? Okay, yeah. So this is the edited version, and we got to give credit here. This is from TMZ.com. TMZ.com. So let me give a little setup here. So you heard all about this, and I didn't want to play the unedited version. The profanity was already cleaned up. It was just a little too off-putting. And that's, it's not a moral thing or whatever. It's just, it was just unpleasant and just nothing. It's, it, it, I don't know. It'd be like hearing 2 minutes of Yoko Ono screeching at you. It's just unpleasant to listen to. So I had Scotty edit this down. This is Michael Richards on stage at the Laugh Factory. And the setup for this, all I know is what happened on film, which is that he's doing his alleged comedy routine. Who even knew that he did stand-up comedy? Apparently he was doing it badly.
They couldn't get Dustin Diamond.
If you love Dustin Diamond. And so he's being heckled by some black guys in the front row. And unlike doing what every other comedian, even a hack comedian like Dane Cook knows how to deal with hecklers, he apparently did not, because he then unleashes this... first of all, he makes a comment about if this was 50 years ago, you'd be hanging from a tree thing, this lynching comment. And then he just, like, unloads the N-word on him, like, 20 times. And, well, we'll see, this is... So what you're about to hear is Michael Richards live on stage, and Scotty is saying that every beep you hear in this is a racial slur.
Not for children.
Not for... Yeah, so it's all cleaned up here, but it is unpleasant anyway, so just know that. So every time you hear a beep, that's him on stage using the slur. So here we go.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own tied down with a fucking fork up your ass!
All right, you see? It shocks you. You see what's beneath your stupid mother. What was it called for? It's not called for you to get off my ass, you cheap mother.
So what is it's kind of a blur because it's all done through like a little handycam microphone.
Yeah.
But it starts out with the guy with him just saying, you can talk. And then he says, 50 years ago, you know, you'd be hanging from a tree with a fork in your ass, whatever that means. And then he just starts screaming, you're a, you know, and he uses the slur just over and like, and it doesn't even make any sense.
He sounds that.
It's just
crazy.
He sounds, and yeah. He doesn't seem drunk though. That's
no,
the thing. He just
seems
crazy.
So enraged and flustered that he's just acting insane.
And it's not even anything that you could argue with any sort of comedic. It'd just be like me going, "And you're a redhead. Yeah, you're a redhead." And I mean, it's just like the weirdest. And then that's, you hear the guy about halfway through stand up and say, "You're not funny. This is why you've never had a movie or a TV show. You've only ever had Seinfeld." And then Richard's just kind of goes, "Well, you're right. I'm a wash up. That's me." I'll just play just the very beginning again.
Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own tied down with a fucking fork up your ass!
And then you hear that woman going, "Oh my God, I didn't know that was this kind of show." And then you watch on the video, and you just see the silhouette of just everybody going, "I think we should leave. I believe there's going to be gunplay." And everybody, and I don't know how many people, the Laugh Factory holds, but it's a whole lot of like, "I think we ought to be leaving." It's just everybody sort of, like, nobody wants to be the last one in that place because they think it's all going to end in violence. And so everybody's like gathering up their crap. And if you watch the video, you just see everybody go like, "Where's the door?" And desperately trying to leave that place. It's awkward. It is really, really uncomfortable to watch. So there you go. And, you know, Jerry Seinfeld's just got to be, man, he can't be, that Seinfeld rerun, that's his cash cow, man. What is Seinfeld doing? I mean, Seinfeld's going on the road and doing his, whatever, doing his stand-up, and that's not what pays the bills. Pays the bills is the DVD set and those reruns. And screw with that. Screw with everything. So there you go. And let's be honest, the entire show, it's not that the characters aren't popular apart from Kramer, but Kramer, that whole show is a big upended pyramid that all rests on the Kramer character. So you got to know that by the end of the day, he'll be in rehab, or he'll blame it on drugs. He'll say that his mother died. He was molested by somebody. I mean, the predictable explanation is going to come up within 36 hours. You just know. Mr. Richards has been under great professional and personal stress. So there you go. So you can see that thing at TMZ.com, but it is really unpleasant. Here's Tim Riley.
I don't know what to do up that.
It's just all kinds of awkward. There's really nowhere to go from there in that story.
Well, it's a throwaway story then. How about Henry Kissinger? He doesn't believe sending more troops into Iraq is the way to go. In a BBC television interview, Kissinger said he doesn't believe there can be a clear military victory. Yes, he believes there should be an international conference involving all of Iraq's neighbors to discuss their future. He's to be the Secretary of State in the Vietnam War under Nixon.
Rick, since you're looking for biggest blank of blank, how about the biggest fat upper pelvic region? No. How about here's my idea. How about we never do that? Let's get a couple of these. Kelly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, the biggest ball of brain hair.
So this is hair that gets caught in your shower drain.
Exactly. Pubic and otherwise.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call.
All righty.
He waited a long time to say that.
Really? That is...
He took time out of his busy day.
I
wait online to be able to say that.
I am intrigued by your ideas. I would like to subscribe to your newsletter. Luke, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'd actually prefer if you call me Simple.
If I call you what?
Simple.
Symbol?
Simple, like S-I-M-P-L-E.
Simple.
Simple, yeah, I'm Simple from Bad Neighbors. We basically performed at the show the other night. The Storm Show.
Oh, Bad Neighbors, the band. Okay, all right. So you guys open. The show's still going on, isn't it? Open for Storm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody that came out, you know?
Ah, yeah. And so now, were you one of the guys? Because there was a whole bunch of opening bands. So you guys a Portland band?
Yeah, we're actually in a crew called Sand People.
Oh, Sand People. You guys played at the Hawthorne Theater the other night.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, see? Tell me I don't have my finger on the Portland pulse. All right, then. All right. I heard it was a great show.
We're
cool. Excellent. Okay. And I think we're done. Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Simple from Bad Neighbors, for whatever reason. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. What a strange program.
Well, all right. Let's do a penis watch.
Take a look at my fantastic enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. Enormous penis.
I interest you in an annual. Let's tune on the radio station right now and see what's happening. Here's Tim Riley.
This comes to us from Hazy View.
Hazy? Is it like a nursing home?
Apparently.
It's an Alzheimer's home.
A man's penis has been found outside of a house in the Masohi village near Lazy View in Mupalangia. Superintendent Benjamin Mashati said a man found the penis Friday morning outside the house that he was looking after. He saw a strange-looking object lying down in the yard. Upon closer inspection, he realized it was a man's penis. A big crease with a woman's penis.
Man's penis.
A man's
honey,
penis.
Did your wife leave this in the front?
Police were summoned and inquiries were made to local residents to no avail.
Did your wife lose her fupa again?
Everyone has theirs in place. Bempe told police they were investigating and urged anyone with information who might be missing the penis to contact the nearest police station.
What information would you have? Quick tool check, everyone. I mean, it's really, it's a binary proposition. You either have your penis on you, or it's elsewhere.
You can do it anonymously.
It doesn't seem like that's going to help you a whole lot, though. Someone in my village is missing his penis. That is all. That's all I can say. And we're done. There's your thank you.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. A look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Let's see. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Hey, you know, your biggest ball of whatever.
Biggest blank of blank, yes.
Blank of blank. If you did, like, the biggest ball of women's underwear and you did it in pink, you could say it's for cancer research.
Well, here's the thing in America. If you say something is for children or breast cancer, you get an automatic pass.
You
get a buy. Doesn't matter what it is.
Outside.
I could be distributing heroin, and pit bulls on the corner. But I go, no, breast cancer research. And it's like, there you go.
Hey, one more thing, Rick.
Yeah.
Can you get the engineering department on a small problem I have as one of your many delivery driver listeners? I lose you at Longview, but I can get you all the way into Eugene.
I'll get them on that today.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Paul.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Largest ball of pink women's underwear. I think that has a creep factor to it.
You mean women's pink underwear?
Women's pink women's underwear. Yes. No, that's only when Michael Richards is doing it. Bam! Let's see. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Things.
A judge has upheld a homeowners association order barring a couple from smoking in the townhouse they own. Colleen and Roger Suave are both owners, and they filed
porn stars apparently.
They filed a lawsuit after the condominium association amended its bylaws to prohibit smoking. We argue that the HOA was not being reasonable in restricting smoking in your own unit, nor on the premises, nor in the park or on the patio.
Well, you know, everybody thinks homeowners associations are a great idea. They keep your property values up. Everybody thinks it's funny until you can't smoke in your own place.
Mm-hmm. Heritage Hills No. 1 Condominium Owners Association were responding to complaints about the Suave's neighbors who said cigarette smoke was seeping into their units.
Oh, and it does. So if you have neighbors that smoke, if you have an adjoined house or town,
cook meat on their patios.
Is that a theoretical situation, Tim?
I believe it's an accurate description.
No,
of something I've been living with.
I'm telling you, if you live next to somebody, if you have a duplex or a joint house or a townhouse or anything, and people next door smoke, you know it. There is, just like in a smoking restaurant where the smoke doesn't know it's supposed to stay on one side of it, the smoke in a conjoined house doesn't have any idea it's supposed to stay over on one side, and you know your neighbors smoke. I used to have neighbors that smoked cigars all the time, and man, everything I owned smelled like cigars. There's just no way to keep it out of there. Homeowners associations, I don't even know who to root for here. Because on the one hand, you got smokers. On the other hand, you got homeowners associations that I despise. Homeowners associations are so repellent to me that it almost makes me want to join one just so I can defy it. It makes me want to, just so I can put up, like, big-ass Christmas lights and a huge inflatable Santa and just keep it up year-round and refuse to take it down. So, I mean, I'd be that guy that had, like, a pink house with big purple polka dots all over it. And then a huge sign just saying, like, F you right in the front of the lawn. That'd make me, someday when I'm rich, that's what I'm going to do.
But if you're rich, you're going to be living in a homeowners association. and want the people who live under you to obey your laws.
That's really, Scotty's saying, how did you defy your homeowners association, Scotty? What is it you did?
He broke the law.
And apparently, he's claiming he is a rebel, an outlaw, a loner. Dottie, you painted your... Listen, what kind of Nazi, really, what kind of Gestapo tactics do you live on? He says, I defied my association already. This is what it says. He's just speaking now like a Russian. Painted house and built shed. You're not allowed to build a shed? Instead of this, he also... Listen, what Scotty's typing in the screen. Painted house, built shed. Also put in pool without telling the association. What, did you just put it up in the middle of the night when they weren't looking? Look, I need your help.
You know, in mine, your shed may not be seen over your fence.
And you put it... But I mean, really?
Uh-huh.
And you put in a swimming pool without telling them? How is that even possible? How would they not know that you were putting in a swimming pool?
The laughter of children. children were heard laughing.
And he said his shed is disguised to look like part of the house.
That's a good way to do it.
You are a sophisticate, Scotty. All right, let's do one more. We'll break. We'll come back with... is it an above-ground or below-ground pool, Scotty? It's an above-ground pool. Yeah, those are... You're all about class.
Very classy.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
A Hancock County couple has filed a lawsuit against Starbucks, accusing a Fisher's Landing, this is from Minneapolis, store, of serving scalding hot chocolate that seriously burned their little girl. Michael and Alexis Brennan filed the suit Tuesday in Marion County Superior Court on behalf of their daughter, Rachel. Her age is not included in the lawsuit, but it says she is a child in a restrained seat in the backseat of the family car. This happened in 2004.
She's a child, but they don't give her age?
No.
16-year-old.
Well, she was in a child's safety seat.
Oh.
Brennan ordered a child's hot chocolate with whipped cream and an adult hot chocolate without whipped cream at the drive-thru. According to the lawsuit, Starbucks' policy is to serve children's drinks at lower temperatures than adult drinks to avoid kids getting burned. Well, Brendan handed her daughter the child's drink, and as she pulled away from the window, it spilled onto Rachel's lap.
Hey, Mensa, how about you not hand your child a hot cup of steaming liquid and then roll off in your goddamned SUV?
The skin on Rachel's leg was falling off of her.
Oh, that's no good.
No.
Let's all stop to picture that. Seriously, I mean, I'm sorry the kid got burned and all, but I mean, for the love of God, what? Look, I know that I'm not a parent, and so there's X number
she
of people out there.
She should be home in the above ground pool.
There's people who think that I'm not allowed to weigh in on this. Really, you have hands, right? You are a parent. Your hands have skin. Underneath the skin are nerve endings. You can tell when something is hot. How about you not? If she's in a child seat. How old could she be if she's in a child seat? Couple years old? Two, three?
Maybe.
How about you not hand... Why in the name of God... Never mind, I'm done with it. Why would you hand a hot cup of something to your child if your child isn't even old enough to sit in, like, the regular seat? If your kid's got to sit in the drooly seat, why would you even hand it... Never mind. It's your own fault. Quit being such a stupid goddamn parent. This won't happen.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the official position of CBS Radio, by the way. All right, shall we break here?
Sure.
Let's come back. We will have Jim Roop and then more from the Ministry of Truth. We get back, we'll talk to Jim Roop about the Wii, about O.J. Simpson, and also about Michael Richards. It's the best show ever. It's 503-7... Oh, and then John has another suggestion about the world's largest blank of blank. 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.